Okay, so the Easter play is coming up. You see the signs out in front. Great time of year for all of us to participate, think about people we can invite to church to see just a production where it'll touch their hearts. They can make decisions. It's a great time in the world just to be thinking about others. So, yeah, those signs you can pick up in the back. Be a part. We can be a part of that together. We had EuroCon, so we skipped it. EuroCon was held in Warsaw this year. Do people know that? You know, that's just where a lot of the church was. There may have been like 500 people from our church over there, from our churches over there. Okay, that means the European churches. We had a pastor from India. There was Pastor Stan came over from South America. So we had, you know, people from all over the world. Just something that stood out in my mind. Well, maybe just one thought before I begin. I was just thinking as we looked out here tonight, you know, we're all like sheep, right? And sheep really don't know they need a master. They really don't know it. They're really not conscious of their need. But when the shepherd shows up, they hear his voice, and it makes sense, and it's security to them. And that's kind of what, like, you could say EuroCon is like. It just makes us aware of we need to be led. And then, you know, in Exodus 21, when Moses raises up the serpent, it's like life is about perspective, right? All of a sudden, I see my shepherd. And then, you know, if I look at the brazen serpent, I'll live. And, you know, this is what our conferences are for. And we see the fruit of them or the need of them, you know, when we're over there, just the conversations and people's lives. And, you know, none of us are seeking God. We need to be encouraged. And we just see what encouragement does. I was thinking, all of the pastors from Poland had their children there. You know, these guys are 40, 50-year-old guys. And Pastor Maciek had his sons there. Pastor Tomak, he's from Wrocław, and he had his two sons, Gabriel and Michael, angels' names. They're 18, the one's 18 and one's a little bit younger, and they have this podcast that they do, and they minister to kids their age, and they direct it towards that. It was amazing to see those guys and to see those guys seek after God. Pastor Mariusz's son came from Gdansk, and then Pastor Robert's two daughters were there. Caroline, she plays, she plays the violin in the band, and she, you know, she's a part of it. And Natalia, who was in Bible school, you know, was there. Just the value it has in a family, and then you see all the little kids. You saw Justin, you know, Andy Velaitis's son and Bonga's son playing with the Robbins's kids. You know, and they're making friends, because I know how vital that was for my kids, and I see that. They'll never forget that. The kids had like a little booth outside. They were turning the house of God into a house of den and thieves. They were selling bracelets. Little kids were. You know what I mean? They were all, there's four of them. There's three zlotys for one little rubber band bracelet. But they, you know, they were making memories, you know, an incredible, you know, Justin, you know, got to meet Hazel, you know, Hazel Robbins, you know, it was like, it's just kind of neat to see, like, you know, kids get to know each other. Another neat thing, Angela and Arpi, they're from Austria. They're from way back, and they brought their two daughters. One's like 18 and one's 15, Agnes and Yael, and they want them to see the fellowship, see the fellowship. Pastor Petri Costin, he brought his son Manuel. You know, he wants them to see the fellowship. It's beautiful to see. Because it's valuable, it's real, it's not fake. You know, this is what life is about. And we're not like patting ourselves on the back, we're just saying this is real. If our church could encourage another church to do the same thing, wouldn't we glory in it? Like, and we never did another thing. We'd be so happy. Like, people got to know God. You know, we never did another thing, but we encouraged another church to do what we did. That'd be incredible. The Robbins is in Turkey, but you know, Erhan, is he here tonight? It's like, just to see what's happening in Turkey, a secular but Muslim country. We have a ministry there. And then I saw the two disciples that Roger brought. You know, Borek and the girl. I don't remember the girl's name. Probably couldn't say if I did. But I just, like, it was just beautiful to see, like, people bringing people. And there was a whole group of, I think it was 15 or 18 people from Lithuania that came. You know, Lithuania is like the next country up from Poland, and they came down. There's Kaliningrad kind of like right in between there, and they came down from Klaipeda. It was amazing to see. Pastor Speedy, Larry Speedy, and I've always been wanting to get to know him, and over telephone you don't really get to know him. And like God allowed it, like every morning I had breakfast with him. I got a new friend, you know what I mean? I got a brand new friend, and I, like, now I know him. And it's like we got knit together. But, you know, these are the things that we see. You know, Sophia Minicello, is she here tonight? I don't know. But she just had a great time there. She was in the band, and she was doing ministry at the train station. It was just great to see. She's a teenager, and she was there. So these are the things that you know, like God did there. And then we had like the pastors' meetings, and just the perspective. I remember the last day on Saturday, Pastor Schaller. And this is a good lesson. It's not just pastors. I'll share something that happened. It's like, where do you start your ministry at when you minister to a person? Do you minister to them as like, I have to correct them and change them? Is that where you start at? And they're bad and I have to change them? Or do you start where they're good and I'm going to encourage them? Isn't that a great lesson about friendships, about raising children, about family life, about interactions, how to show yourself friendly, how to renew your mind so you don't think evil about people? So you know you could be wrong, and why don't I have friends, or why aren't things going so well? Everybody's bad. Everybody's bad that I see. I see their faults all the time. That's what's in my mind first when I see it. No, don't start there. We start over here at an even place, and we encourage people because we're all like sheep. Yeah, of course people go astray, but we can start there and then take people in the other direction. So, yeah, so many things happen at these, and you can just go to a conference, and you can just let the wind blow you, and just take, the Spirit will take you where He wants you to go, and God will use you. It's so beautiful to see how God uses people, to see. You know, Pastor Jason is here, and his brother Chris, their heart for the Ukrainians. I mean, Pastor Chris and Pastor Jason, just to see them love the churches, the people of Ukraine, and to pastor them is so beautiful. They know their names, they know where they come from, they know their kids, and they're taking care of the people in our churches that are from Ukraine. You see these Ukrainians with their their kids, one boy not wanting to go back. He's 8 years old. His mom wants to go back and be in Lviv, and like he's afraid and he doesn't want to go back. They have to deal with these things. And, you know, all the women coming and the children. And we went down to the train station. The church was down there every day, just ministering to people, going to the place where they're handing out food and giving them the gospel. Like, these are the things that we're doing. These things are fundamental in our life. These things are so fundamental in our life that we have, we're not about ourselves, but we gravitate towards others in our life. It's so beautiful to have that aspect in our lives. So, thanks for being a part of it. That's what we do. So many people went and you prayed, you were here. There's another one, you know, planning next year. This is our church throughout the world. Amen. Okay, and I'm going to pray for the offering, okay? There's these on your seats for the Grace Hour. It's going to be taking a new format, but it still needs support. This is for the Grace Hour. And then we have an opportunity to give to a gracious God, to let our hearts be led to give, to be secretly involved in the ministry by our gifts that we give. And it's just associated with a thanksgiving to God, a full heart. You know, giving is comes from a full heart. And so we're people that drink from a well, and so that we don't thirst again, and we have rivers of life flowing out of our belly. So Father, bless this offering. Just check our hearts for tonight. Just check our hearts that we'll just be at that even place where we can receive from you, where we can do it joyfully, thankfully, to be available, to have concentration tonight, God, and to be a corporate body where every individual is part of a living organism. We realize it, God. We just shout hallelujah to you, Jesus, that name that we sang about, God. Bless our offering. In Christ's name, amen.
I feel so honored that you are here tonight. I feel honored to be with you. I feel honor from before God. We honor God by assembling to pay attention to his word. I feel honored that... we have prayed for so much, so many people praying for each other. I feel honored that we were in Europe and felt the reality of what Pastor Gary said. And I'm very built up. I'd love to build you up tonight. I would really love to do that. What do you think the possibilities are? That would be amazing that we would end in 15, 20 minutes tonight or whatever the time, and just say, I was glad that I went to the church tonight. Isn't that amazing? You know. So there's a couple of scriptures. The first one I want you to turn to is Isaiah 52, and I'll point this out to you. And that my people is taken away for nothing. Isaiah 52, verse 5, verse 3. And verse 5, for thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing. You have sold yourselves for nothing. I think many of us have images on the TV of what is happening in the war in Europe, the cold face of war. The masks are down. and we see the cold face of the human race. Proverbs chapter 6, there are six things, yea, seven, that are an abomination to the Lord. And they all go along with the nature of man, what is in our hearts. When you judge people, be careful, because wherein you judge, you are guilty of the same. Romans 2:1. We are all part of this race of men that make war. We have war in our hearts, in James 4, all of us. It's in our family, it's in our neighborhood, it's in our community, it's in our nation, it's in the world. It's the nature of man. There is one that is the Prince of Peace. There is one that you need to get to know. With the war that we see in Europe, we are all concerned that it would not develop into a world war. Einstein said that famous statement. They asked him, because he was horrified by the power of the atomic bomb, and at conferences he attended, they would ask him, what would World War III look like? And he said, I don't know, but I know that World War IV will be with sticks and stones. We could destroy ourselves. I think this is a good message for all of us. It's a good message. Why not enjoy it? Because you and I are connected with Christ. That's our joy. And I would love for you to feel important before God and to feel and to think that you have a relationship with the living God who loves you, who is your Father, who cares about you, who speaks to you. Look at this verse 3. You have sold yourselves for nothing. How? What do you mean for nothing? I sold myself for a woman. I've sold myself for $10,000 or $100,000 or $1 million or for $10. I've sold myself for a drug, for a connection, for a relationship. And God said to the Jews, you have sold yourself for nothing. You've got nothing in return. You've got nothing but problems. Problem upon problem. But then he says, you shall be redeemed without money. It's kind of a play on the words, like, you sold yourself for nothing, and I will redeem you. And he says, without money. What he means is, I'll redeem you by blood, by the blood of my Son. I'll redeem you by myself, by my strong arm. I make bare my holy arm, it says in Isaiah. Okay, so go to verse 5. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for nothing? They that rule over them make them to howl. Howl. What does it mean? When the Babylonians came, they were like the Ukrainians. They were devastated. They were destroyed. They were murdered. They were raped. They were carried away to another country. They were in a lot of trouble. The Jews, by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, they are howling. They are howling. Could I get that box of Kleenex? Okay, thank you. So I'm going to make this short because I want it to be really positive. And all this negative is to get us to where we want to be. Would there be World War III? Would there be another pandemic? Would there be fear? Would there be people howling? Would there be the anticipation of being lost? Would there be the conviction of my sin, that I'm actually in a lot of trouble? That's one of the things that we enjoyed seeing in Eurocon. Some of our old friends from 40 years ago who were under amazing conviction to get saved. And they were under that conviction. And I was making a rough calculation that in our church, and I go before the Lord like we all do in prayer, and say, Lord, is everybody in our congregation saved? Is everybody saved? Is everybody born again? And then I just make a calculation in the scripture and say, no. There be many that say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And Jesus said, I never knew you. I never knew you. I think the percentage would be very low, because we wouldn't be coming here unless we had the Holy Spirit drawing us. And the Holy Spirit draws us to the assembly. I want to hear a word. I want to meet my brothers and sisters. I have love in my heart. I want to live by faith. I want to find God in a personal way. I want to hear the voice of God in my heart. I need the comfort. I need the encouragement in my heart because of what I see in life. What I see in life is actually leading me to trust or cling, draw me, Jesus, draw me, we will run after you, in Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Okay, now go to this portion in Hebrews 11, and we will finish pretty soon, but we didn't come here just for a few minutes, and so we've got a good text here. We preached on it in Poland, but I want to do it again here. Chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, how many years? When he grew up, it means. When he came to years, how old was he when this happened? Yes, he was 40 years old. And what did he decide in his heart? He's in Egypt. What does he decide in his heart? I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew. It's like two identities. We all can have two identities. We can have, I am a sinner. I am depressed. I have bad habits. I'm not such a great Christian. I've failed a lot. I'm not that motivated. I'm not so interested. I can have that kind of identity as a person. But then I have another one that Jesus tells me who I really am. Who am I? I am born of God. I am a child of God. I am filled with the Spirit. Who am I, God? You are more than a conqueror. You are able. I am with you. I am God. I am your Father. Ask me. I will answer. Knock. I will open. Seek, you will find. That's exciting. I will find. I will knock. I will grow. I will learn. This is my. When Moses came to years, he said, I am a Jew. Verse 24. Refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Translation. I am the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which means one day I could be Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the title of king. He was the Caesar or the czar, the Pharaoh, the president, the leader. He would be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, could mean that one day he would be the king of Egypt. But Moses refused. He refused by faith. You need to learn to refuse some things because you live by faith. You have to learn to say no. You have to learn to walk away. You have to learn to say, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not into that. And if you fail in it, rebound and come back to God and what in faith and be drawn to God. So we have the first verb there, refuse. Verse 25, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God. choosing. There are parts of the world where you don't have choices. I remember in Romania, one of my friends said under communism, we couldn't even choose what city we lived in. We couldn't choose what job. They gave you your job and told you where you had to live. You couldn't even choose. In some parts of the world, you can't choose who you marry. You cannot choose to get out of town. You cannot choose your education. Others choose for you. But it's a lie. It's a lie. Moses said, I choose. I choose to follow God. In Islam, they say you cannot change your religion. If you change your religion, you go to hell automatically. That's a lie. You choose Christ. You choose Christ. The devil says you can't. We say you can. The devil says you can't change it. You can't do a thing about it. We say, yes, we can. Moses did. Moses made a decision, and Moses chose. Verse 25, he chose to suffer. This is a good word for us, because usually we choose comfort. Have you chose any suffering? Have you chose an inconvenience? Have you chose to suffer? Have you chose to make a decision that would lead you into persecution or inconvenience or something uncomfortable? Moses did. How would he do it? Because he was called. And so are you. You're called. You have a calling. You have a calling to refuse. You have a calling to choose. You have a calling to esteem. Look at the next verse there. Verse 26. Esteeming. Esteeming means an evaluation. He made an evaluation. Would it be better for me to be a king and buried in a pyramid and mummified and be surrounded by gold? Or would it be better for me to follow God? I don't know where I'll be buried. I don't know what will happen to me. And by the way, the Bible says nobody knows where Moses was buried. Look at the comparison. If I'm Pharaoh's daughter and I'm buried in a pyramid, that's like an honor, like what is a King Tut or one of the Egyptian kings, versus I don't know where I'm going to be buried because it really doesn't matter. Because if I gain God in my life, because life is about God. And God loves you. God is close to you. This is the living God. This is the God where you can say, I got the world over here, but I've got God. And I'm going to choose God. But nobody talks about God. It doesn't sound like anybody knows God. Nobody's really excited about God. Nobody's like interested in God. Nobody's giving their all to God. Everybody's talking about this pyramid over here and the mummies that are in it and the gold that is in it. I heard there was an exhibition in Florida where they brought the museum treasures of a pyramid to Florida to show to people in a museum. And I was thinking about that whole picture. I wasn't there, but I was just thinking about it. I go, wow, I could care less about a pyramid, you know, presentation in Florida when I have and you have the living God in an everyday life on the Beltway in Baltimore City, in your heart on a Wednesday night, in your morning devotional in the Spirit, in a relationship with the living God where he shows up in a prison or a hospital room or a nursing home, and the living God is there. Moses esteemed or evaluated this. And he goes, basically, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. God met me in the burning bush, and I'm here in Egypt before Pharaoh. You know, I'm making these decisions and he hates me. Moses, Pharaoh hates me. Pharaoh is an enemy of mine. He hates me. But that's okay with me. Because he's wrong and Christ is right. He's of the world. Christ is not of the world. He's in darkness. Christ is not in darkness. Christ is the one who is our comforter and our teacher. Christ is the one that sent us many years ago over to Europe. Many hundreds of people who have gone. They have lived in Portugal, in Germany. They've lived in France, in the UK, in Sweden, in Finland. And they've lived in Poland, in Romania, in Austria. We have. We have actually our people together as a group. And how did they go? They esteemed the treasures of Egypt as nothing compared to the treasures that are gained in your personal relationship with him. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had a feeling in his heart, it's better. It's better. I don't know if I will win or lose, but I believe in God that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He will not leave me ashamed. He will uphold me. He will care for me. He will lead us. So they're at the Red Sea, and of course it looks very dark, but God shows up and they go over on dry land. Of course, because God called them out. I want to say to every one of us here in this room that every one of us have a calling in our lives. Every one of us have the visitation of Christ in our hearts. Every one of us have words of faith. All of us have a ministry. All of us have a bright future in Christ. God is for us. Wherever you work, your job is one thing. Your job is your vocation, but you have a calling. Are you a teacher? You have a calling. You're a teacher, but you have more. You have a calling. Are you a factory worker? You're a factory worker, but you have a calling. You're a mother, but you have a calling. You're in the medical field. You have a calling. You're sitting with somebody in a nursing home. You have a calling. You're a young person. You have a calling. You're an older person. You have a calling. All of us, we have this calling. We have this evaluation, and we live by faith. The last thing here is verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt. I was reading an article about a man who wrote about happiness, and he said that he had found, and he's a pastor, but he had found that active people are happier people. He did some research on it. Active people are happier people. And I taught it in the high school today, and we had a nice time in the class. And we talked about three things that he said in the article. I won't go over that now, tonight, but I just want to say, by faith, he forsook Egypt. I'll tell you, there's... There are people that are so passive, they won't forsake anything. They just go. They're just passive. They don't make a decision. They don't make choices. They're not deciding. Sometimes we do the uncomfortable thing. Sometimes we do the hard thing. Sometimes we choose suffering. Sometimes we do something inconvenient. And Moses, by faith, of course, it was God that did it. They put the blood on the doorpost and they ate the lamb and the Holy Spirit led them and they come to the Red Sea and they're out. How? It was by faith. It was by faith. When you go home tonight, Before you go to bed, just take a few minutes and get on your knees. If you can, get on your knees somewhere in the kitchen or anywhere in the house by yourself, all by yourself, and just say, Lord, I'm doing this, raising my hands by faith. This is by faith. Does this mean anything? Now, does it mean anything? It may mean nothing, but because God has told me to worship him and lift up holy hands, then I can do that because he said so. So I just do that by faith. Does it have any meaning? God knows. If you can live by faith tonight, then you can live by faith tomorrow morning. If you live by faith in the morning, it's very possible you're going to live by faith in the afternoon and the next day. And if you live by faith, you live by faith and you make decisions in your own mind to live by faith, you're going to find yourself walking by faith. And you might find yourself with the Red Sea opening up and just say, how did this happen? How did this happen? And the Lord say, because you walk by faith, I open up the Red Sea. I made this happen. And you started just by faith. And from the burning bush, you went back to Egypt and you went to talk to Pharaoh and you left. And I did my thing, my punishment, and I told you to go back and you went back by faith. And then you left. Was it 9 or 10 times when Moses went before Pharaoh? And then Pharaoh said, this is the last time I will ever see you. And Moses said, you got that right. It's over. And they left. Yeah. What is the whole story? I'm trying to say that we have troubles in our world, but you should not have those troubles in your heart. We have troubles in this world on the outside, but we do not have them. We do not live in them in our hearts. That's not God's will. It's his will for you to run through a troop. It's his will for you to be comforted. It's his will for you to have a word in season to him that is weary. It's his will for you to pray for the sick. It's his will for you to believe him. And I do not know what door God will open up for you in your life, but he will reward those that live by faith. He will. Why did the door open up? Remember that story I told you about my wife and I going to the drugstore? We pull into the parking lot. Drugstore's closed. I go, Lee, it's closed. It's not closed, just go. It's open. I go, Lee, look, it's dark in there. The doors are closed. She said, so I get out. I walk across the parking lot. I come to the door, and I'm just saying to myself, it's closed. The door opens up. I feel her eyes on the back of my head. And I turn around. It's open. I got it. It's open. Okay. All right. It's hard to admit. All right. Okay, so wait a minute. I want to finish the message here. Listen. We have to be healthy. The world is sick and in trouble. We have to be righteous in our hearts and true and spirit-filled and healthy people. We need that health. We don't need the chatter of the world in our hearts and in our minds. We need it in us in Jesus' name, because we only have so much time on this earth. And we have a ministry that God gave us. The last verb here is this verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover. How did he keep the Passover? By faith. How do we take communion? How do we gather here? Remember Pastor Shabelli when we were here with COVID? He and I were here with a team of 10 or 15 people. And the audience was totally, nobody was here. The room was empty, and you precious folks were home on your TVs watching, or computers. And And how did we assemble? By faith, we kept the Passover. How did you keep the Passover? By faith. We kept the assembly. How did we keep the assembly? By faith. We met together. How did you meet together? By faith. We gave money, and that was a great blessing to our church, and I want to thank everybody on the internet and keep it up, keep it coming in, and keep blessing us because we can use it in so many ways, and we are. But I want to say money, assembly, attendance, faith, prayers. How does God work in your life? By you walking by faith. By faith, he kept the Passover. Wow, what a story. Let's go over the verbs. He refused. Say it out loud with me. Refused, he chose, he esteemed, he forsook, and he kept. He refused, he chose, he esteemed, he forsook, and he kept. How did all that goodness happen? It was in his heart as he walked by faith. I wonder what God has for you in your life in these coming months and years, and maybe decades. I wonder what God is going to do with you in your life. I wonder how it's going to work. I do not know, but I know that your faith is precious. God is with you. Pay attention to him. Listen to him. Follow him. Trust him. He will show you. He will help you. He will comfort you. He will teach you. He will open the doors that look closed. He will do it because we walk by faith. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. We're looking to you tonight for comfort and teaching for every single listener. For those that are not believers, you're not sure about it, then just say to Christ, with all my heart, Jesus, as much as I can, I am trusting you to be my Savior. I know the fruit of the Holy Spirit will operate. We know that in the Scripture. And you have peace in your heart and understand what the Scripture says about you. You are saved by his grace. He loves you. In Jesus' name. We pray. Maybe somebody here needs a healing. Maybe somebody here needs a word of encouragement specifically. Maybe somebody here is in great need of some kind. You're in a good place. God is going to take care of you. God's going to speak to your heart and guide and lead you. He's going to open a door and close the door. He is a good God, the living God. The one that cares about you. In Jesus' name, amen.